Welcome to the My Crazy Office podcast with the authors of Working With You Is Killing Me, Working For You Isn't Working For Me, and Mean Girls at Work, Kathy Elster and Catherine Crowley. They're committed to creating world peace, one crazy office at a time. And now, here are Kathy and Catherine.
Hey everyone, I'm Kathy Elster.
And I'm Catherine Crowley, and welcome to My Crazy Office.
So we're going to have a fun show today. We're going to talk about coffee breaks, the office kitchen, and the people who abuse food and beverage privileges at work.
Uh-oh.
I mean, it sounds so ridiculous, but we hear this all the time.
And it makes a big difference in
your
day.
Yeah, so, you know, the people that buy it, the people that bring it to work, the people that cook it at work, the people that go out to get it. All of this is a source of real tension. And it sounds ridiculous, but we hear it all the time.
We sure do. And, you know, food, I find, is one of those very personal issues for a lot of people.
Although everybody eats.
Everyone eats, and we all have a different relationship to it. And some people are territorial about their food, right? So they may not want you to see them eating. They don't want you to touch their food. They don't want no food sharing, right? And then there are the people who are obsessed with food, who talk about it all the time, or who cook elaborate meals at work, or who spend all their time going out and getting it.
I mean, we're pretty lucky here regarding food, although we have had some really weird issues. We had this one woman, she didn't work for us. She worked for another company that was out of our space. And she said because she had diabetes, she had to eat this fish every morning. You said it was meat.
I thought it was.
I remember it being fish. But all I remember is she would put it in the microwave and the smell.
Oh, no, the stench must have just permeated the whole office.
And it never left. And I finally
still
realized...
Here.
It's not still here. We sprayed a lot of Febreze.
We have windows, which is wonderful, that open. So that's.
But it was really bad. And then I think I realized, or someone realized, that she was using rancid oil and frying it in this rancid. And the smell was so horrible. Thank God she was gone. We had other, you know, little food things.
Right. Well, smell is a really powerful sense, right? So, and people have different senses of smell and also different senses of what smells good and what smells bad.
Right. Stuff like that gives me a headache. And I can't
rancid
work.
Oil.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you know, you don't want to have, I mean, even when certain cleaning fluids, that's not food, but that will sometimes give me a headache also in the office. And we have that in this building.
Oh my God. Don't get me started.
Yeah. That's a whole other show. All right. So anyway, our first question comes from a new manager who has an employee who goes out on these long coffee breaks. We hear this a lot from our clients. And our second question concerns an employee whose coworker monopolizes the company refrigerator. So let's hear our first question, Logan.
I'm a new manager at a digital advertising agency. I oversee three staff, and one of them is driving me crazy. He's been at the agency longer than I have, so I'm hesitant to confront him. He arrives to the office on time, but then a half hour later, he goes out to Starbucks to get coffee and doesn't return for another half hour. He's always saying, there was such a long line at Starbucks. I want to say we have coffee here for free, but I have a feeling that wouldn't make a difference. This same guy then goes out again in the afternoon for another half hour and returns with the same story. I feel like he's stealing time from the company. How do I handle it?
You know, first of all, I think Starbucks is a little addictive.
Is it?
I think it is because I don't really drink it often. You agree? You agree?
I think it is, yeah.
Yeah, once I have a cup, I want the next day I crave it.
Oh, that's so interesting.
And that's, I think, hence the long lines.
Because of addicts.
Everybody trying to get their
Starbucks
fix.
Addicts.
I don't know how.
Maybe that's true.
I don't know how you make coffee addictive.
Yeah.
But you don't see long lines anywhere else at that price.
That's true.
So I don't understand that. But anyway.
We're on to you, Starbucks.
Yeah.
Well, what I want to say is this is a tough situation for a new manager, right? Because you are in a new role. You've got someone who's been there for a while. He's obviously been allowed to take these two daily Starbucks vacations without being reprimanded, right?
Without it being considered vacation
time.
Yeah,
exactly. So it's not uncommon to deal with an old timer who's learned how to use the system.
Yeah. I mean, I don't like it. I find that people that do that, they just figure out a way to do less.
Yes.
Yes.
And they're missing for long periods of time. So That's really tough, but I definitely think this is a bit abusive.
Uh-huh.
Not in the worst kind of a way, but
he is stealing time.
He is stealing time.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So what do you do, Kathy?
Well, first of all, you can get your Starbucks before you come to work.
You could encourage him to do that?
Well, I think you have to tell him to. I think you have to say you're missing for quite a long time in the morning. Uh-huh. I'm going to suggest that you pick up your coffee on your way to work.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
So you may have to leave your home a little earlier, but that's what I'm going to ask you to do, at least the morning one.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're going to have to address the afternoon one and say, we don't have half an hour breaks here.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But I think it has to be addressed and he has to break that habit.
Yeah.
You know, I wonder if he's, you know, using that time to make phone calls or...
Who knows? Have an affair.
Who knows what he's doing. Exactly.
You know, everyone, whenever I ever mention anything to somebody who's not in our world, I say, oh, the person was missing. They always say they're interviewing or they're making phone calls. They're looking for the job. I don't think this guy's doing it because he has it good.
No. Exactly.
So, but he's hanging out with his friends. Maybe he goes to Starbucks with a bunch of friends.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
He may not, and maybe he meets up with his friends there.
Right. Yeah. Or it could be other coworkers, which is would be worse.
So I was thinking of looking at this, and I think what you're saying is really right on. I just wonder, one, is there any policy in the company regarding time
Starbucks?
Off, breaks, any of that stuff? I'm just curious whether there is. And then the other thing I was thinking is, what we find usually with this kind of individual is that they aren't producers.
That's correct. That's right? That was my point. Yeah.
Yeah. So you really want to focus. Does the manager want to focus just on the coffee or on the productivity?
Well, it's a symptom. It really is a symptom. I mean, when you mm-hmm. think about it, if somebody really, you know, is kind of stealing an hour, they're probably stealing more.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh.
Right. So if you just start looking at their productivity,
yeah,
you may find other things that they're not doing.
Yeah, so I was thinking that in addition to saying, please get your Starbucks before you come to work, that you might want to schedule, if you don't have them right now, weekly meetings with this person and really find out what they're working on and hold them accountable. And perhaps in a way, the likelihood is that they haven't been managed for a long time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
So you might want to focus on what are you producing?
Right.
And what are the timelines? And, you know, if maybe if he produces huge amounts of work, an afternoon break isn't such a bad thing. But it's really about finding out what is this person doing between Starbucks breaks.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And it's really not about Starbucks. It really is about this person just trying to do less.
Uh-huh.
That's what I hear. I just hear somebody who's always looking for a way to not work that much.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. Well, that's what this manager has to do. That's tough.
Yeah.
It's tough for a new manager.
I was thinking, what if you also said, hey, I'd like to join you?
Oh, that probably wouldn't go over well.
That probably wouldn't go over well. Probably be frazzled and wouldn't know what to say. Especially if
what
he's not
he
really
say?
Going to Starbucks.
Right, what could he
or
say?
Or if he's going there and meeting up with people.
He's probably going because he comes back with it, but he's doing other things, I
mm-hmm.
think.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it doesn't really take that long. Or maybe it does.
Well, it does sometimes. Someone actually told me that the line at Starbucks can be very long, but that the frustration is not that about that long line, just as you say, it's assuming that you can take work time to do it.
You know, I did see a sign. I never go to Starbucks, but I did see a sign that said that you can email your order in,
mm-hmm.
yes,
and then
you
pick it up, right? They have that new service now.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So maybe he should find out
suggest
about that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then email one together and say, let's go get our coffee together.
No need for you to go. I emailed Starbucks.
I'll go for you.
I'll pick it up on my way out.
Yep.
That would throw him.
That
yes,
sure
it would.
What I was thinking that's so interesting, too, is that there are people, this is Starbucks, but there are people who will take their lunch breaks, take the whole hour, come back, and then sit at the desk
and have lunch.
And have lunch.
Yeah. Right. I mean, we hear all kinds of things. I have a client who recently just fired someone, not over this, but it was part of a complex issue, set of issues with this person. But he would, they have a toaster oven in the kitchen. He would actually toast vegetables every day, roast vegetables.
Mm.
And it stunk up the whole place. Nobody really liked it. But, you know, just using the kitchen as your home.
His own personal kitchen.
Right. I mean, who cooks in the office? you might warm something up.
I happen to know someone who does, but it's usually someone with fairly bad boundaries because they're not mm-hmm. thinking of anyone else's well-being or, you know, olfactory system.
You know someone who cooks their meals in the office?
Yes, I do. I think we both know that person, but yeah, I do.
Wait, who is it?
I'll never tell.
Oh, no.
No, but that's, and it's because for this person, food is an obsession. Mm-hmm. Always concerned that I'm not going to get enough, that it won't be exactly right, that it's not what I ordered or what I had in mind. And so a lot of time and energy is put into the food, which
yeah,
just
you know,
happens.
And every office has it. We also, this question doesn't bring it up, but we once had a client that somebody was stealing food.
Mm-hmm, yes.
Out of the office refrigerator. And they finally put up a nanny cam.
This is, by the way, a human service organization.
Right. Where everybody's very nice. And it turned out to be the nicest person, somebody that nobody would have ever thought she was stealing food. And it turned mm-hmm. out she thought it was her. She didn't realize it. How do you not realize that you didn't bring that salad in? How do you not? And you know who
that
else?
Tiramisu.
I remember somebody else had this problem where really expensive things were stolen.
Yeah. But see, this is such an interesting thing. And we could even say this about this fellow, this employee. He may not know that he's infringing on company time if mm-hmm. no one ever says
right.
anything.
Mm-hmm.
So back mm-hmm. to what you're saying, Kathy, is that really a major role for managers is to clarify what the boundaries are, what
right.
the policy is, what's permissible and what's not. And if you're a new manager, I think the tough part is that you have to worry or be realistically concerned with the response. They're not going to like it. This guy is not going to like his habit being broken. He's very comfortable in this routine.
Well, mm-hmm. yeah.
Yeah, so you have to be ready for that.
Right.
That you're not going to like it. This guy is not going to like it. And yet part of your job is, if you see an infraction like this, creating some boundaries.
Right, right.
And see what happens.
Okay. We're going to take a commercial break, and we'll be right back with question number two.
Want to be a hot shot in your new job? Do you have a fancy new suit, but you're tired of wearing it to the same old office? Aren't you bored of staring out the window at Starbucks, wondering what happened to your dream career? If you answered yes to any of the above, stop what you're doing and give K-Squared a call. I mean it. K-Squared Executive Coaching will help you accomplish your career objectives and help you navigate the obstacles holding your career hostage. Simply go to our website, ksquaredenterprises.com, to learn more about our executive coaching and how we can help you. Come on, go ahead. You can do it. And now, back to our show.
Okay, Logan, what's our next question?
We have a company kitchen, and one of my coworkers abuses the privilege. She stores a week's worth of fresh produce in our small company refrigerator and spends hours making elaborate salads for her lunch. The rest of us bring prepared lunches to work and need to store those lunches in the same fridge. The other day, I asked her if she could clear some of her items out. Some of the produce is rotting, so that others could use the fridge. She just stared at me. Then she said, "I'm on a special diet. How do I handle this?"
You know, this is so silly. I mean, these are the kinds
of
things.
It's real.
It's very real. It has nothing to do with work, yet it becomes so annoying.
Yeah.
It becomes a big problem. Mm-hmm. You know, there's usually somebody that is in charge of the kitchen, or maybe not. Maybe it's rotating. I don't know. But you can go to that person. Or you have to go to HR. You have to go to the person in charge of facilities. Somebody then has to speak to this person, not a coworker.
Right.
I think it has to come from a higher authority.
The food gods.
Well, even if it's so stupid. It's you know, this is a common courtesy. This really is just bad manners.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's funny you say that because the individuals I know who have this problem, it's not... They're just, again, they're food obsessed. They don't have awareness of other people's needs, so mm-hmm. which is problematic. And usually this is probably not the only area where she has some issues,
right.
so to speak. But I agree that it has to, essentially the company needs to create a policy, right, of how much space each person is allowed in the refrigerator
obsessive.
Or something.
I mean, I don't know. I think if you just get one rude person, you just should take care of that person.
Would you take them out?
No. Well, I think they have to be addressed. They have to understand that the kitchen is a courtesy, not your home. It's not an extension of your home. And if you need a salad every day, you should bring that salad prepared. It's, you know, nothing should stay in the refrigerator more than one day.
Okay, well, so there you go. That's a policy.
That's a policy.
But, you know, that's a soft policy, though.
Right, but I think you need, for those individuals who have really bad boundaries, some form of demarcation needs to be
Aren't there places explained. Where every Friday everything's thrown away?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They just, everything just gets taken out. So, right, you have to do something like that.
Yeah.
Especially if the produce is sitting there and rotting
that's
in
gross.
The refrigerator.
That's gross.
That's awful.
That's just rude. It's not. What does her home refrigerator look like?
Not good, no, I'm sure.
Not great.
I'm sure.
Oh, boy. Anyway, these are the kinds of things that, unfortunately, it sounds like we don't go to work to deal with this.
No.
But then this is a big part of what we end up dealing with. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I think to your point, if you do, it is worth addressing. Like, you don't want to spend a lot of time complaining about it, right? Or resenting the individual or talking to others about this dreadful situation. Not that you spend hours, but it can take up your psychic energy, right? It can mm-hmm. take up real estate in your brain.
Well, it does. And if you are somebody that does need to put your salad or whatever you're bringing in the refrigerator, this is a real nuisance.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And many people do bring their lunch to work and they do need the refrigerator.
Yeah.
And that's why it's there as a courtesy. So this has to be handled. But I agree. I think this person probably has other issues lurking under their desk. Do you think they have food in their desk also?
Absolutely.
Oh, boy.
Not fresh food, but I mean, probably condiments of different kinds. I mean, usually someone who's obsessed with food is feeling that there's probably never enough and that they have to protect it and that it's something that they, you know, need to sort of have around them all the time. Mm. Mm-hmm. So it's tough. It's a tough thing to be around.
Yeah. I mean, to me, people love, you know, free food. Uh-huh. In the office.
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of companies have learned that if you just feed everybody, they don't leave.
Yeah.
It's yeah. Kinda,
yeah. And I, you know, try to keep a lot of food here so nobody leaves.
You do a very good job
well,
of that.
Well, thank
Kathy.
You. It's all healthy. It's all what I
it's
want.
All healthy. And then the stuff that doesn't get eaten and goes bad, we always throw it out.
We throw, so I sitting throw it there out every week. I clean it all out.
Rotting in there.
Right, but, you know, when we have new tenants, they seem to love that, and they continue to contribute to yeah. the keeping food here. I think, you know, people want to have food in the office because right. you're there mm-hmm. for so many hours. It's breakfast and lunch and snacks. Right.
Well, and it's a communal right. thing.
It is.
Yeah, so a lot of times companies, and you've actually many times mentioned as an Olive Branch, get pizza for everyone
right.
or
mm-hmm.
have lunch or do breakfast or whatever. So food is often a unifying mm-hmm. element, right, mm-hmm. in a workplace.
Right.
So it's really tough when you have an individual who kind of turns it into a not so pleasant experience. But one way to look at it after you get them to set some kind of policy is that this individual is sick and suffering. You know, they have a problem. Right. And there are a number of people who have a hard time navigating their food. It's just, it's
What about if you have somebody in the office that doesn't want any food around? I've heard this too.
Yeah.
And gets upset if there's food around because then it makes that person want to eat. So they tend to throw other people's food away. I've heard that.
Wow. Yeah. Again.
Yeah. You know, it's funny because our clients tell us these things, but they sort of say like an afterthought because they're embarrassed and they don't really want to pay us to hear about the food stuff.
Yeah.
But yet it ends up being building big resentments.
Right. Well, and it goes back to policy, even if you think it's a minuscule or ridiculous thing to create rules around.
Well, they're soft, I think. They're soft.
They're soft, but they're important. And to your point about the not wanting food, I know in the fashion industry, there are a number of people whose bosses don't want food around because they don't want any reminder of something that could add poundage or, you know, make someone look less attractive or whatever, or their own issues with food.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So it's tricky. And you do have to see what the company's overall approach and attitude is.
Yeah, there's also the issue of stinky food. Let's just talk about that for a second.
It's a big one.
Yeah, what is stinky to one person is not necessarily stinky to another. So there's that
issue.
I mean,
I'm guilty of that. I love tuna fish, right? And that leaves a scent wherever it goes.
Yeah, but that goes. There are certain things that stay. There are certain odors, certain foods that really smell bad for a long period of time.
What's your least favorite smelly food?
Raw onions.
Oh, that's so interesting.
Raw onions.
How about you, Logan?
Probably fish, not tuna so much. Something uh-huh. that has a much stronger odor.
Uh-huh.
Bother me.
Uh-huh.
Fishy.
Yeah,
some fishy.
Because those are the odors that tend to linger, like you're saying. They
right.
stay for a while.
Right.
What about you, Catherine?
I think I get more obsessed with any toxic substance that I hear smell wafting through the halls. That mm-hmm. really just
you
set
had a hard
all
time
alarms on.
With that fish smell, that woman.
The meaty thing, yeah. I smelt it as meat. So meat, very heavy
very
meat,
heavy
fried meat mm-hmm. smells, I'm not crazy about. That mm-hmm. we had another fellow who really liked meaty foods that he'd get off the street, right?
Yes.
Those were quite pungent.
Yeah, they were really strong. And that odor did not leave.
Yeah.
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 Anyway, there we go. Such an appetizing
nice
podcast.
For you guys.
A yummy, yummy podcast
well,
it is.
So this sounds like a small area, but it ends up building big resentments and it ends up being a problem.
Yeah. So if it is a problem, follow Kathy's suggestions and my suggestions of see if you need to go to someone higher up, do that and create policies if you need to do that. And otherwise, keep your food to yourself. Or something like that. Tweet us your stories about food, coffee, company policies at work, and join us next time for another My Crazy Office podcast. Please review us on iTunes, SoundCloud, and Stitcher, and don't forget to send your questions to info@mycrazyoffice.co.
My Crazy Office is produced in New York City at K Squared Studios. Stay crazy.